Welcome to the first episode of the Lean Decisions podcast. I'm your host, Trevor Lauber. Lean decisions are those that use the minimum amount of information and process needed to have successful outcomes. They rely on patterns, techniques, and insights to help you make decisions faster and with less stress. As part of my research into lean decisions, I'm interviewing people about the decisions they make and how they make them. The Lean Decisions podcast publishes these interviews for you to learn from them too. At Business and Software this year, Noah Kagan spoke about the framework he uses to make decisions at AppSumo. In this podcast, I interview Noah Kagan about his framework, what it is, the value it provides, and how to create one for yourself. On to the interview. So I'm here with Noah Kagan. Can you introduce yourself?
Hi, Noah Kagan, Chief Sumo, AppSumo.com.
Excellent. So, we're at Business of Software, and yesterday you gave this talk, and in it you talked about a decision framework, and I want to talk to you about that decision framework. So can you describe your idea first of what a decision framework is?
Yeah, so a lot of times as you're starting something out, it's just kind of random, right? You're like, oh, let's just make this decision, or let's do this thing and that thing. And what I notice over time is if you want to be consistent, you want to put some checks and balances in place and more of just like a process of thinking of through things.
Yeah.
And so a decision framework helps you be consistent and it helps people around you try to help prioritize how we're going to be making decisions in your business or in your life.
So it's a communication tool to tell other people what you're valuing in your decisions as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's that and it's a little bit of that. Not necessarily just as communication, it's that it allows you to say, all right, these are my priorities. And so when I'm trying to choose between multiple things that are going on, it'll help me filter out which ones are actually consistent with how I really want. So as an example, if you're looking for a job, a lot of people are like, well, this job seems like this, and then this job seems like that, but that one over there is that fucking thing. It's like all over the place.
Yeah.
And when you have a decision framework, you're saying, well, what are the top three things that actually matter? Salary, location, job functionality. Maybe those are your three. Or maybe your decision framework is, how far away is it from home? What's my commute?
Yeah.
And that, you know, and so you, everyone has a decision framework that is tailored to their true self. And then it helps them making decisions a lot easier versus just subjective opinions about things. And then subsequently in businesses, if you have a decision framework that you've created for yourself, when you communicate that with your team, they can make decisions that are consistent. So as people experience your business, it's consistent.
Got it. Not
all over the place.
Okay. So do you find that decision frameworks help you with not just the process but with improving your outcomes as well? Or is it more about the process, or do you measure, have you looked at tracking your outcomes using a decision framework versus not?
Yes. So we have looked at it. There's a few different things I consider. One, if you're not uncertain, you don't necessarily need a decision framework, right? If you already know exactly what you want to be doing and maybe it fits your thing or does not fit your framework, it's like, that's okay. Secondly, I've noticed that a lot of decision frameworks and processes are for people that suck, right? So if they're actually not as effective, they need a way that, like, oh, well, what do I do? And that's because you've generally hired or you're working with the wrong people.
Yep.
When you actually go back, the biggest thing is if you do have a framework and you're making decisions, which we've done, like for things we've promoted on AppSumo, so we promote people products and tools that help people kick ass.
Yep.
And if you promote something and it's not working and it fit your decision framework, then it's really great to learn, all right, well, what was missing in my framework that is incorrect? And how do I go back and fix that so as the next thing comes on, I can make it better? So think about, like, there's a good book, Checklist Manifesto. Skim it. Or basically, the whole book is about making a checklist. I just spoiled it for you. And the point being, though, is that it's good is that if you're a doctor, it's good to have a checklist so that as you're doing something, it's consistent so that you can have a good environment for doing surgeries.
Yeah.
And that goes true for, you know, airline pilots or in a startup. It's like if we're promoting a deal, do we have a checklist that the copy is there, the photo is there, the text is there, and so that ensures that we're not missing anything.
Yep. So in some sense, from what I saw the other day, your to jump over more into the components of how someone would develop
sure.
a decision framework, it seemed like your decision framework was essentially like a checklist of questions you're asking.
Yes.
And you're just going through that kind of checklist. Would that
exactly.
be accurate?
Yeah, that's very accurate. So as we're promoting things on AppSumo, and, you know, I really want consistency that every time we send an email, we're sending something of high quality. And when we're uncertain of what to do, I think a lot of what decision frameworks do is when you're uncertain, when
yep.
things are a little more subjective. So, you know, in terms of the products we're promoting and the things we're doing, it's like, are we really proud of this? Is it simple? Are we doing the simplest thing? Is it fun?
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, is this what we really want to be doing? And so you ask yourself those questions in that order, and you're like, you know what, this question is irrelevant. And I think that's what people probably miss out on when they're doing decisions, or if they're trying to create frameworks for decisions, they don't go back and revisit it.
When you say this question is irrelevant, are you saying that the question, you would develop a prototype of the framework and then later on say that question is irrelevant, or sometimes you ignore questions in your framework while you're making the decision?
So as we make decisions, for me, a lot of it, a lot of we do is gut, and then I think we use analytics to make excuses for decisions because we don't want to face the reality of them. I know I've done that. And with decisions, initially it's kind of all over the place, and then you're like, well, I want consistent decisions, so let me put it through kind of like a Connect Four thing where you want to keep checking it off. And what we need to do better at, and I think a lot of people need to do better, is come back to like why we do the decisions. So as an example, you go to places and they're like, well, that's just the way we do it. I'm like, well, that just seems silly. Why do you do it? Well, that's just the way it is. And so those businesses are missing out on actually making sure it's a good customer experience because they're just so set in the decision framework and not reevaluating. We don't give out water for free.
Yeah.
Right? And so they don't really go back and say, well, is this part of the decision process that we're telling everyone to do as employees the most effective for our business?
Yeah. So what are your higher level goals that tie into that? Okay.
Yeah. And so it's just policies are really fascinating because we're supposed to follow them. And it's good to have those checklists, but you know, some of the best companies are run by letting people and be empowered from core values or core decision questions. Like, is it, you know, number one, is this great for the customer?
Yeah.
Right? And so that doesn't mean you just give the customer free money and do all these things, but it says like, all right, if you need to go change their tire and you're a clothing store, you go do that. Right? And that's kind of a hard line to say, well, like, do always what's best for the customer.
Yeah.
And so the point being is that you have to have some values that are set, but also the flexibility that people can go and use their brain. And that'll really show if you've hired the right people. I know it's kind of a ramble. I'd say that just to summarize that, though, is that have core decision principles that you're trying to make, right? So have your framework, have core things, but allow some flexibility that if there is a moment that you've hired the right people and they think there's something incorrect, that they have the flexibility in doing something about it.
Yeah. Well, and one thing as you were saying that I was pulling out was one of my core principles is avoiding bad decisions. Rather than trying to make good decisions, try to avoid bad decisions. So in that context, instead of asking, you know, is this good for a customer, another filter is this bad for a customer?
Yeah.
Right? So again, yeah, you're right. It's always great for the customer for me to hand out cash in the cash register. You know, that may not be the best decision for my business, but certainly it's a bad decision for my business if what I'm doing is bad for the customer.
Well, also you could say, I mean, the two things I'd add to that is one, bad decision for the customer could be you're going out of business by just giving them free money.
Yes.
Right. So bad for the customer, you're like, well, now they're getting free money, so they're happy, which is good. But if we're out of business, that's bad because they would never get our services again. The thing that I've been considering, and I was just talking about it with my mom on the phone, was I really like it when bad decisions happen. I really like it when bad experiences happen. At the time, they're kind of hurtful. Like, you know, I gave a speech, and it wasn't my best speech ever, which I take a lot of pride in. It was a good speech, not amazing, which is what I aim for.
Yep.
And it hurts, right? And so that decision was I said some things, and I maybe didn't prepare or tailor to the audience, and it's all my fault, which is fine. But the greatest thing is that bad decision of what I did, it wasn't intentionally bad, but it was there's things I could have improved, is a good learning for me to now make it better as the next time I'm going to be presenting.
Yes.
Right? And sometimes you don't know how things are going to turn out. You can plan and prepare, and then until a thing happens, the big critical thing is that if bad decisions happen, what can I do to ensure it doesn't happen again? Like, that is a really critical thing to try to learn. Like, what did I miss in this step? So the next time this comes around, I'm not doing the same thing.
Yep. Although, to play a little devil's advocate, I would say if you're not making bad decisions, you're not taking aggressive enough decisions to do that learning. Like, your decisions may all be mediocre decisions, and you can play it safe all the time, but then you don't learn, you don't get the benefit of the really great decisions if you're not making some bad decisions.
Yeah, I definitely say that's a byproduct.
That's a byproduct of it. You have to do it. Although you're right, you shouldn't make the same bad decision multiple times. You need to have that learning feedback loop. So, you know, you'll go, okay, I learned this. I'm not going to make that you know, same bad decision again, but I'm willing to make more bad decisions in the future because, you know, sometimes shit happens.
Yeah, I mean, I would say I would definitely agree.
Okay, and then do you use your decision framework on only certain types of decisions, or do you have different frameworks for different types of decisions?
So we generally actually haven't gone back to these frameworks. The frameworks are more for us to understand when we're at a point where we don't know what to do. So if there's a decision where like an example of this is that we historically the past 3 months, not super long, but we had a decision framework which was, is this good for the customer? Is it good for our partner? And is it profitable?
Yep.
And so that's a really good thing if you're building a feature on your website or, you know, doing something in your store or whatever kind of business you have. You're like, I don't know if this would be a good thing. Well, is it good for the customer? Yeah. So let me give you a specific example. We were sending emails out from AppSumo, and the emails, we had two options. One is like a big email that sends to everyone, and one is a small email where we break out our list and we smaller emails.
Yep.
So is it good for the customer? It's about the same, so that's fine. Is it good for the partner? No. The big email is good for them because they get the full attention. The small email, they don't get any attention.
Yep.
So then it was like, all right, well, no. And then is it profitable for us? It was about the same, so let's go with one that was actually followed through the framework.
Excellent. Okay. It's almost like going through like a pro-con list, like kind of hitting everything.
So if you're uncertain of what you need to be doing, this will help you have kind of like the Ten Commandments or the Constitution, right? Like we have our rules that help build the foundation of a country. Doesn't mean we ever think about them, but if we're uncertain, we know that we have gun protection. We know that we have the right to vote. We know we have the right to drink.
Yeah.
And those provide some of the fundamentals of how society is based off of.
Interesting. I've got some awesome ideas around that. Well, is there anything I did not ask that I should have asked?
I think what I would encourage you to do as you're going and talking with more people is really explore specific decisions that went well, went badly, how they would improve it, where they were challenged with it. I mean, I talked to you about like the email example. I talked a little bit about the speech on stage. So like the speech on stage at Business Software was great, not amazing.
Yeah.
And what was missing in terms of the decision process, I probably should have considered who more the audience is, because I've actually given audiences that are more mature like this audience.
Yep.
And I've actually had a similar response where they're like, wow, there's a lot of swearing, or this guy's a little more crude. And I'll literally give the same speech in 2 days in New York to a young audience. They'll fucking go berserk.
Yeah, they'll love it.
Right? And so that is me making a poor decision that you got a little stung, and now let's not go do that thing again and you know, try to make it even better for the next time.
Okay. Yeah.
So that I would encourage you to do is that as you're talking to people, go on, what was a great decision? How did you make that decision? What was a bad decision? How do you learn from it? And get more of the meaty examples. That's what I always like hearing.
That's it. Thank you, Noah, for taking the time out of Business as Software to do an interview and for pushing me to publish these interviews right away. For now, the podcast will be a semi-regular feature on the Lean Decisions blog. To subscribe, go to leandecisions.com and enter your email in the subscription box. If you have any feedback on this episode or would like to be interviewed for my research, please contact me at trevor@leandecisions.com. Thanks, and see you next time.